I'd like to talk about tonight about the idea that we talked about this morning. We talked about influence and the influence we have on other people and the influence that other people have on us. But we need to talk about our reputation. And our ability to influence other people is valuable. For instance, if we go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and in verse 1, Ecclesiastes 7, and in verse 1, it says, a good name is better than good ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That first line, our name, our reputation, is something that precedes us, like a perfume that we might wear. And a good reputation is something that we need to value and we ought to cultivate. Over in Proverbs 22 and verse 1, it says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. When you have a good reputation, it's hard to put a monetary value on it. It is something valued, and we ought to value it. After all, when we think about it as Christians, we mentioned this verse this morning in Matthew chapter 5. We're here to influence the world. In Matthew 5 and in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? Is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But what happens if we ruin our reputation? What happens if we interfere with our influence with other people? Take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and in verse 34. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt becomes tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. If we are not able to influence the world around us, then what good have we become? How is it that you can ruin your reputation? One way is that you just be inconsistent. Now, if you say one thing but act differently, people take notice of that. In fact, we have a word for that. We call them hypocrites, where they talk one way and then act a different way. In Proverbs 26, look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 26, and in verse 7. It says, like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is the proverb in the mouth of fools. You don't expect wise sayings from a foolish person. And so he says that's like someone who's got lame legs. They're there, but they're not serving a useful purpose. What we see around us, we see people doing this all the time. We see people that are inconsistent in their application. There are rules that apply to you, but they don't apply to me. You see government officials, we usually get annoyed with them because they have rules, but they make exceptions for themselves. We get annoyed with Christians also who expect other people to do things while they themselves don't. Why listen to someone who doesn't really believe what they're claiming themselves? If they don't follow their own rules, why listen to them? But we also got to think about the consistencies of our life, the consistencies of the examples we set. Can somebody whose social drinks effectively warn against the dangers of drinking? Take a look at Romans chapter 2. Paul mentions this type of problem in Romans 2 and verse 21. You, therefore, who teach another, do yourself not teach yourself. You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? That's what the Jews oftentimes did. They had rules, they had regulations. They told people not to do things while they themselves end up breaking the rules just in a slightly different fashion. And so Solomon, again, back in Ecclesiastes 10, says in verse 1, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. It doesn't matter how smart, it doesn't matter how wise you tell somebody things. You act a little foolishly, and it just destroys everything that you set up and said. And the world is eager to catch those who claim to be Christians but don't act like ones. They're just looking for reasons, excuses not to listen to Christ. There's been all sorts of TV evangelists who made the news because they did not live the life that they were preaching. There's also some scandals. That's why, you know, the news gets all fluttered with, you know, the scandals about the Roman Catholic priests. They weren't living the life that were supposed to be lived. It's the inconsistencies of their claim and comparisons to their lives that made them targets. And we got to understand that. If we're going to be Christians, we have to be consistent. Because otherwise we ruin our reputation. Another way to ruin our influence is just to be outright liable. If you want to ruin your reputation, just fail to be dependable. Don't always do what you're asked or expected to do. Don't be responsible. Don't take on duties. Don't ever go beyond what you have to do. Don't be trustworthy. Just because you say you'll do something, it doesn't mean you're going to. Be one of those people that can easily get sidetracked. You can always say, oh, I forgot. Would you hire such a person? Or if you were looking for a spouse, would you marry such a person? You can't trust them. You can't expect help from them. It doesn't mean that, you know, at times we tend to do things and just there's too many things in our plate and we just can't keep them all track. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about somebody who's just, you can almost count on them not being dependable. You know, one of the pharaohs of Egypt actually had that type of reputation. Take a look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings 18 and verse 21. It says, now behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is the king of Egypt to all who rely on him. Israel, Judah in particular, was basically depending on Egypt to come fight a battle for them to keep the bad guys away. And God says, you can't depend on Pharaoh, not that guy. He'll end up hurting you before he hurts somebody else. And that's what it turned out. You know, just before the battle began, Pharaoh just suddenly said, you know what? I need to back out of Egypt. See you later. And it just didn't help. Take a look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 in verse 17. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. Would you, depending on such a... Whoops. I wonder if I got the wrong verse here. 19. Yes. 19 is the right... I didn't read that earlier. Mistype. Yes, in verse 19. Like a bad tooth or an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. Just when you need it. You're eating dinner. Oh, my tooth killed me. Or just if somebody has a bad foot, just when you really, you're about to go walk someplace and your foot gives out. He's saying that's what it is like to deal with somebody who's just not trustworthy. Just when you say, I really need to depend on this person, that's when they give out. And oftentimes it causes you the pain. You know, that's why John Mark caused Paul not to want him to be around. In Acts chapter 15, see, John Mark had traveled with Paul and Barnabas. But they had just gotten to Asia Minor. They got to what we now call Turkey. They had sailed across the sea, and they just got to where they're starting to go to start to do the real work. And John Mark decided to go back home. And in Acts chapter 15, and look at verse 38. But Paul kept on insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in the work. Paul just basically said, I can't trust him. Just when the work started getting busy, that's when he left. Now, Mark, we should mention, after a lifetime of work, changed his reputation. So that Paul's opinion of him changed. Because when we get to the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 11, Paul has this to say about him. He says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. The guy that Paul says, I can't trust, years later, Paul says, he's useful. The only way that can happen is Mark changed how he was. He became dependable. He became someone that you could rely on. Unlike Demas, who's mentioned in verse 9, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, make every effort to come with me, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescian has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. All the people that were with Paul, they've gone. But notice, especially Demas, he proved to be unreliable. He preferred the world over doing what God needed. Another way we can ruin our reputation is just plain be unfriendly. See, friendly people, people are your friends because you find them dependable. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. That's what a friend is. It's somebody that he's consistent. He's there. That's the type of friendship. That's the type of love that was shown by Ruth for her mother-in-law. In Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 and in verse 16. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God." Ruth was saying, "I'll give up everything to stay with you." That's friendship. You know, Jesus demonstrated his faithfulness, and he asked the same of us. In John chapter 15, John 15, and in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." There's that idea of being consistent. See, the unfriendly person doesn't care. And those who don't care can't impact the life of other people. You can also ruin your reputation just by not being able to control your anger. In Proverbs chapter 22... another verse we had mentioned this morning. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourselves." Anger is something, is a habit that can easily be picked up from other people. And anger causes people not to think. And when they don't think, they act foolishly. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 17. "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." And also down in verse 29 of the same chapter. "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." You're going to make mistakes if you lose your temper. Another passage to consider is Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and look at verse 9. "Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools." Reasonable people don't want to be around quick-tempered people. You never know when you might be the next victim of their outrage. But when you keep away from somebody, guess what happens? No contact. You don't have contact with people, you don't have any influence over them. You want to drive people away? Yeah, get angry all the time. But you're not going to have much influence in their lives. And even when you're dealing with an angry person, you can't depend on them to act rationally, especially in difficult situations. Now, that's not the type of person I want to hire for an employee. Another way you can ruin your reputation is just be too quick to speak. Solomon warns in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3, he says, "For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words." Foolish people just don't know when to stop talking. I think part of it is because they don't have much to say. So they try to make up for the lack with a lot of words. But the problem is, the more words you say, the more mistakes you're going to make. And you're bound to offend somebody. In Proverbs 26, Excuse me. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whispers, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are dainty mortals. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. If you don't have a ton of words, you don't have fuel for the fire. One way people just talk too much is the... Now, I know we've all met them. It's the guys who complain. There's always seems in any crowd, there's at least a few people who do nothing but complain about everything that happens. And in Jude verse 16, it says, these are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. There's always people who are trying to find something wrong to complain about. They never fix it. They just complain. I found a poem that was interesting. It's called The Classmate by a guy named C.A. Loughborough. I shouted aloud and louder while out on the plain one day. The sound grew faint and fainter until the words had gone forever. They left no trace or track, but the hills caught up the cry and sent an echo back. I spoke a word in anger to one who was my friend. Like a knife, it cut him deeply, a wound that was hard to mend. That word so thoughtlessly uttered, I would that we could both forget. But it echoes, lives, and memory gives the recollection yet. How many hearts are broken and how many friends are lost by some unkind word spoken before we count the cost? But a word or a deed of kindness will repay a hundredfold, for it echoes again in the hearts of men and carries joy untold. What do people remember about you? The thoughtless words that you use or the kindness that you've expressed? If you want to be wise, if you want to be influential, in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is worth little. What do we need to do? We need to restrain our words. The smart thing to do is say exactly what needs to be said and leave it at that. Use well-chosen words. Over in Proverbs 15 and in verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Now, that's what your mother used to probably tell you. Think before you speak. And it's the same idea. Think about how your words are going to be received. How they're going to react to it. How can you best phrase it? What exactly do I need to say? Or as Paul said in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Season those words. Pick out the right ones. Shape them so that it will be more likely to be received. But another way people ruin their reputation is when they refuse to accept the responsibility for their own words or their own actions. in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise man is he who listens to counsel. Foolish people, they don't stop to think. They just know. They just assume, I'm always right. They never consider they might possibly be wrong. I found a long time ago a little news clip of a man who was arrested for collecting his mother's Social Security check for 6 years after she died. And was it his fault? Oh, no. He was suffering from extreme procrastination behavior because that was caused by the depression over her death. That's why he did it. It didn't go over real well. Wayne Dreyer said, called it your erroneous zones. It says, all blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another, and regardless of how much you blame him, it will not change you. The only thing blame does is to keep the focus off you when you're looking for external reasons to explain your unhappiness and frustration. You may succeed in making another feel guilty of something by blaming him, but you won't succeed in changing whatever it is about you that makes you unhappy. So many people complain and it's somebody else's fault. But it never gets to the point of why am I unhappy. See, the wise person changes. The fool never thinks there is a need to change, and so he just keeps going. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Who wants to listen to someone who refuses to accept responsibility for their own choices? They can't be responsible for themselves. How can you depend on them for anything else? Another little poem is, I don't know who wrote it, but it's titled My Life. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. Leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the setting evening sun. This is the wish I always wish, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help others live lives it touches by the way. That I can be an influence, that I can touch other people. I'm going to. Just by being and around other people and talking to them and interacting, am I being a positive influence or not? See, God told us, you're the light of the world. You're the light of God in a dark, cold world. You're the salt that gives meaning to life. Do we ruin our salt? Do we hide our light? Are we worth something to God? I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, again, we leave an opportunity. There's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, again, the opportunity is available to you. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.